Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. Here at Within the Realm, we believe in stories. We believe that everything has a story, and it should be told. Have you ever met one of those people that's always knee-deep in something interesting? Well, I have a friend that's such a person. Val Anderson. Val is a self-taught photographer. She donates that gift and her time to many different organizations. And this has taken her around the world, to India, Guatemala, England. She's always in the middle of something, but I asked her to pick one thing. She wanted to talk to me about a program near and dear to her heart. A program that honored American military vets. The Honor Flight. Tell me what Honor Flight is.
It's a nonprofit organization, and there are chapters around the United States. And basically, it started out, there was a doctor, I believe in Ohio, who was treating a patient, a World War II patient, and said, "Hey, I heard your World War II memorial is opening up. Are you going to go back and see it?" And the patient said, "No, I can't afford to. I'm not well enough to travel for a trip like that." And the doctor had a plane. And the doctor said, "Why don't I fly you to Washington, D.C. for the day? And why don't you get some of your friends and I'll take them?" And so they went to Washington, D.C. and saw the memorial and flew home the same day. So that idea took off. So Kansas City, there are two women here who both had veteran fathers and said, "Why don't we start a chapter?" So they have, and I believe last Wednesday, their 32nd flight. So they're all nonprofit. Everyone's a volunteer.
Being a person that finds themselves in the middle of things, Val soon became one of those volunteers.
Well, one of the directors came to my Rotary Club here in North Kansas City a few years ago and presented a program, because there's massive amount of fundraising that goes into it. And what happens is, veteran, whether they served in a conflict, whether they were just in reserve, whether they, you know, just shuffled papers at Fort Bragg, it doesn't matter what their service looked like, can take a free trip for the day to go to Washington, D.C. and see the different war memorials. They either can bring a guardian who is not their wife or husband, so no spouse is allowed. They can bring a grandchild or a daughter or something like that, who is their guardian, basically, especially the elderly. So what these guardians do, the guardians themselves have to pay $600 to take the flight, and the veteran goes for free. There's a support staff that goes, and one of the roles is I go as the photographer. So when this man came to our Rotary Club to solicit $600 to help pay for a vet or a guardian to go, he had, and this sounds judgmental, but it's just business, but he had terrible images, and his whole program was a visual. Like, we went to World War II Memorial, and here's a vet over here shaking the hand of a colonel or whatever. They were taken with a little tiny phone kind of pocket camera. So I went up to him afterwards, and I do photography pro bono for everyone. And I've worked with over 65 nonprofits, so I have a pretty good idea of how they use these images for marketing and to tell their story. And I went up to him, and he was very nice, and he was an older man. And I said, "You know, if you're going to be marketing to business people, like in Rotary International, you're going to need to elevate your marketing game." And I said, "These little cell phone pictures aren't going to get it done. These are people that they have a couple minutes, 15, 20 minutes you have to sell me on your idea for me to donate money to help you with your project. And I need to see it in its best light." So I said, "If you want, I will pay $600 of my own money to take a trip back east with you." And he called me a few weeks later and said, "How about you just come and we won't charge you because you're doing us a favor." So that was 13 honor flights ago.
After making so many flights herself, Val was able to make some observations about the program and about the vets.
Each flight has a different tone to it. When I started, there were a lot of World War II vets. And they're super chill. You know, they're in their 80s and 90s. The last week we had a man who was 98 years old and probably could run faster than you and I. From the time they went ahead and booked this charter to the time that we left, 17 of the vets, I think, had passed away while they were waiting to go on the flight. But there's kind of an urgency, especially with the older vets. So each tour has a different tone, the World War II tone. They're very relaxed. They're just happy to get out of bed. A lot of them are happy to be away from their wife for the day. They're primarily all men. The Korean vets, they don't say a lot. They tend to keep to themselves. And then you have the veterans from Vietnam. The Vietnam vets, they have a lot of pain, and they bring that pain with them. And so while World War II are treated like rock stars and everyone wants to shake their hand and touch them, nobody treats the Vietnam vets like that. But when they get off the plane and we go over to the Washington Mall to see the Korean War Memorial, which is interesting because there seems to always be Korean people there. They go to pay homage. But when those vets walk up, the vets from the Korean War at the memorial are like rock stars. Every Korean wants to shake their hand and they tell them thank you. And so they kind of receive their pat on the back that they're not looking for. But when the vets from Vietnam, when they go up to the wall, they always know exactly where they're walking to. It's fascinating to watch every one of them. If they don't know, they go over to the book and thumb through it to find their buddy or their brother's name, whoever. They walk to it without exception. They touch it, and a lot of them cry. And so I never photographed the Vietnam vets in that moment because it's sacred to them. And for some of them, you can see this huge release of pain. So every flight's different.
The flight makes for a full day, leaving early enough in the morning to arrive in Washington, D.C. in time to see all the sites that they have planned.
Even the arrival to the airport's pretty fascinating because what happens is everyone who's flying through in the concourse, they must announce it when we arrive. On whatever airline, they have the gate already all decorated with flags, and they bring in like a band that plays 1940s music with the women and the big bass and the costumes. They dress up in that period. So when these men and women get off the flight, everyone who's flying that day stops and they clap and cheer until every vet is off the plane. So they get this hero's welcome when they arrive in D.C. by all these people they don't know. And then we get on the bus and we go usually directly to World War II. We do a group picture there. Last Wednesday, Bob Dole met us at the World War II Memorial. He's about 95. But if he knows an honor flight's coming in and he's well enough that day, he has his handlers bring him over in his wheelchair and he greets every single one of them. He'll take a picture with them. Meeting him meant more to them, I think, than anything. They love Bob Dole. You know, of course, I'm younger. I'm like, I know that name and I think he ran for president. We do that and then we just travel from place to place. So we drive around so they can see the Capitol. We go to Iwo Jima, which is otherwise known as the Marine Memorial. We go to the mall so they can see the Korean Memorial. They can see the Vietnam Vet Memorial, the Nurses Memorial. We do go to Arlington and we always go so we always see the changing of the guard. But when the changing of the guard happens, if the guard, they have like metal taps there on the side of their shoes. And when they walk past the vets, if they drag their foot, you can hear it. That's their salute to the vets. It's pretty slick because you can hear it through the entire space. You just hear that and you know it's them saluting the vets. It's slick. And then we get back on the plane. When we're coming home, there's mail call, which the Honor Flight Group has organized. This last flight, there were 1,800 pieces of mail. They come from school kids and family members, and they break it down so every vet gets a large manila envelope of mail. And then when they get off the plane in KCI, it's beautiful. The Honor Guard motorcycle always are standing there at attention in their full motorcycle outfits and have flags. And then there's the Sons of the American Revolution are there in full costume, and they are right there at the opening of the concourse when the vets get off the plane, and then their families and co-workers and everyone. And so I think last week with our arrival home, even if it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, The entire concourse was full from where we depart to all the way to the end.
What's the honor flight mean to you?
What it means to me, it's a way that I can serve back. I was raised with a vet. I was always raised to respect veterans and their service. And so ever since I was a little girl, you know, sometimes at the grocery store, the vets will sell those little red poppies. Every time my dad would buy one for himself and one for me when we would see them in this teeny little town in Alaska. When I had the opportunity, at first it was kind of like an adventure for something I hadn't photographed and I hadn't done. But now it's just, it's an honor. It was an honor then, but now it's like, it means something. There's a couple stories that stick out, but one woman in particular, she was 93, World War II vet in the Coast Guard, this teeny, teeny little frail woman. But she had these beautiful little wrinkly hands. So I took a picture of her hands and she wore her Coast Guard medal that she had received in World War II. She had it the whole day in this little red, white, and blue crocheted afghan. And she held her medal all day. And while we were at Arlington, I did a portrait of her. I just felt inspired, prompted to do that. And then when we got home, she died 3 weeks later. So I've come to learn that it matters to their families.
In meeting and talking to these ordinary men, Val has heard some extraordinary stories. She shared with me one that stood out in particular.
I'll remember this story more so than any other, and it actually directly impacted a lot of us even now. So there was a man on one of the flights, probably, I don't know, eighth or ninth flight, so it was a while ago. But he saw the camera, my camera that I use, and it's very large with the big flash. And he said, "That's a really nice camera." "Well, thank you." And "Yeah, I'm a photographer." He says, "I'm a photographer." And, "Oh, that's awesome." He goes, "I was an executive with Kodak for 36 years. "Oh, wow, that's amazing." "Yep. I was trained in the military to be a photographer. And when I got out and got finished, I went to work for Kodak." "Oh man, that's amazing. You probably saw a lot of stuff." "Yeah." And I go, "So what did you do with your photography in the military?" And he goes, "Well, I was in England one time and I was stationed there and they brought in me and five other photographers with some pilots. And they said, we're going to do something here in the next few days and we need your help." Well, they were commanded, of course, to go do it. And they put six planes in the air. Each plane had a photographer and they said, "We're going to fly you over this little coast in the north part of France and it's called Normandy. And what we want you to do, we're going to do it at night and we want you to photograph the entire coast so the Germans don't see you. So we want you to, you're going to fly over this part, you fly over this part," and they assigned them different sections of Normandy. And so they said, "We're sending six of you because we hope that at least one of you will come back." And so sure enough, he was one of the photographers in one of the planes. Six planes went. He said, "We photographed along the coast and only two planes came back and his was one of them." And he developed all the images, they printed them, gave them to the superior officers, and that's how they decide what part of the beach they would land on in Normandy. I was like, I cried because I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I don't even know what to say." He goes, "Yeah, all the other photographers were killed." And he's like, "But those were the exact images they used to decide where to land." I'm like, "That's got to be pretty powerful for you. I mean, look at where we're standing today. And I've been to Normandy myself." And he's like, "Yeah, it's pretty humbling when you think about it." That's all he said.
What else would you want to say about honor flight?
Donate to them. Money's hard to find. You know, most people don't understand what the program is. They've heard about these vet trips to DC, but if they hear the name, they don't know what that means. So the Honor Flight chapter, basically they eat the cost, the entire cost of every vet going. And the last I heard, a charter could be between $80,000 and $90,000.
The Honor Flights chapter that Val works with is just one of many across the United States. Check our show notes for a link to the Honor Flights organization and see some samples of Val's work on these trips to Washington, D.C. We also have a few additional minutes of audio of stories we could not include in this episode. They are worth a listen. Thanks for joining us today on Within the Realm. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Remember, you can find older episodes archived on our website at withinpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to our show on iTunes and Stitcher. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our other episodes, be sure and share it with a friend. Join our Facebook and Twitter community. You can link to those accounts from our website at withinpodcast.com. Our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And as always, thanks for listening.